Okay, so this is my happy recap time. Yesterday, I got to do something that I've been looking forward to for so long. It's like years overdue, right? And I guess I've been looking forward to it, especially because after taking this emotional needs quiz on Marriage Builders, it was really revealing. There's 10 needs, right? And it talks about being able to find out your top three needs, so that you're just so much more aware. And the whole idea is like making sure that you know your needs so that you can communicate those needs and you can make sure that your spouse is the one that's meeting your top three needs if possible, right? If not your top need, right? And so it's been really fascinating this last time doing it. So we did it like 5 years ago. And one of the top needs was something to do with intimate conversation, really like going deep with different topics and things. And this time doing it 5 years later, my top need came up as recreational companionship. And so I love having fun with people, right? I love being in situations where things are light. We are laughing. We are enjoying each other. We are just living in the moment kind of thing, right? And there's nothing like, you know, a marriage retreat to instigate this like deep sense of, oh, we're going to get to have fun, right? So it was really interesting because, you know, there's so many different needs in the top 10, right? There's everything from physical attractiveness to physical intimacy to like trust and, you know, domestic needs and family commitment. And, you know, it goes on, right? And I love everything to do with everything in recreational companionship, right? And, you know, like I love dates, right? I love going on dates. I love making sure that we're going every week, if not every other week, or, you know, like at least once a month, right? Like that this isn't just a thing of our dating phase. This is a thing of our like marriage face, right? Like this is what happy married people do, right? And that's one of the things that I feel so grateful that I'm learning in this course that we're taking. So we took this course 5 years ago and we're taking it again. It's like the Gottman marriage course kind of thing. And I love understanding these intricate things, right? How there's certain habits that happily married people do together without knowing it, right? And there's certain habits that are consistent to marriages that are about to divorce or are divorced, right? Like, you know, and how they communicate with one another, how they treat each other, how they view each other, you know, like there's those consistencies. And so we talked about them. And one of the biggest aha moments that I had yesterday as we were going through like our first evening of talking about these concepts in the workbook was just this concept of like how there's some main things that, you know, there's four main things specifically that are consistent to marriages that divorce kind of thing. But the thing is, like, if you are practicing any of these four things in your marriage, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to divorce. It just means that it's an important topic to improve and find ways to strive with, you know? So the one that stood out to me the most was this concept that I didn't even realize, right? That's the thing I love about these learning opportunities. I'm drinking some lemon water. Is they bring up things that I wouldn't know to even seek out because it's in my blind spot. It was not even something that I thought that I needed to improve, right? And so it's nice to go to these things and be like, oh, whoops, I had no idea, right? I did learn it 5 years ago, right? But it's been a while since I brushed up and I was like, oh, right, that's what's going on and that's what's happening. And oh, that's why, like, it affects people so much, right? So thankfully, this time around, as we went through this course, I had already studied this book called Owning Your Power as a Highly Sensitive Person, right? Basically, right? Because I'm always trying to find different texts or different pieces of knowledge and content that just helps me, like, learn how to be more of a compassionate person, right? And just, like, step into that zone, because I think naturally it's really hard for me to understand that world. I think in some ways I'm a little bit more of a logical person, but in other ways, because I've done so much yearning to understand the highly sensitive person, I think there's definitely aspects of me that is sensitive that I never even knew or made room for in my life to acknowledge, right? So anyways, this one, what they call horseman, is so, so crucial for me right now, because I could see very clearly living a completely different life if I did not know about this horseman, right? I would have these relationships with people that I do love, but they would be so much more harsh. They would be so much more abrupt. They would, you know, I would be talking with them with all the wrong tone, right? And I would not be talking with them in a way that is cherishing and acknowledging and honoring my deep, deep gratitude for our connection, right? And respect, right? And so what is this horseman that I am so eager to make more diligent effort with? It's called the horseman of criticism, right? It's kind of, or no, that's another one. That's another horseman. No, this one specifically is actually called the harsh startup, right? And so this whole idea is like, so they said something like how only 4% of like any conversation that starts with a harsh startup will end well, right? So you're basically already setting yourself up for more negativity, more, you know, more things to have to repair if you're just going to start a conversation with a harsh startup, right? So they talked about what is a harsh startup, right? And so it's basically whenever you're going into a conversation, basically loaded, right? Loaded and ready to just obliterate the other person, or even more gentler than that, you're going into a conversation like already accusing or blaming or, you know, making a situation where you're stepping into that conversation with this belief within yourself that there's something wrong about the other person, basically, right? And so their whole idea is, so there's this analogy that was brought up that was like, hey, here's a soccer ball. This is what like a healthy conversation looks like. You're passing the ball back and forth. You're saying what you're saying. They're saying what they're saying, right? With a harsh startup, it's as if you're just kicking the ball into the other person's stomach, right? And you're trying to drive home your point and your argument more than caring about their heart, basically, right? And so then we talked about the antidotes to all of these like four horsemen, right? And I did. I appreciated just knowing, you know, what's the opposite of a harsh startup? What's the antidote? Like, what's the thing that I need to practice? And so the whole idea was practice the gentle startup, right? Just like being able to talk about things like, oh, and they even said not just a gentle startup, but you know, there's a difference between, you know what? The whole thing that I just said about the soccer ball, that was actually an example for criticism, because the antidote for criticism is giving a complaint, that also allows for you to just make a request, right? In a very kind of neutral way, right? And not just being so fired up about the person's character. But the whole antidote for the harsh startup is the gentle startup, is being able to talk to a person in a respectful, kind of a way, and to practice that, right? I think in the past, the whole relationship thing and being nice to people thing was always such a vague, ambiguous kind of an idea for me, you know, especially because I just didn't get it, right? It took me years. It took me until I was like 15 till I was like, oh, so you're like, you can just like be nice to people, right? And like, that can be a good thing, right? Like that could be a win-win, right? Because I think leading up to this phase in my life where it's like one of my biggest priorities to, I don't know, like to be nice to people, to do good by others, right? Not in a pleasing necessarily kind of way, but in a deeply grounded, deeply founded, this is my purpose in life kind of a thing, right? But before I found that, I found myself so confused. It's like, why, you know, like I literally would think, I'm like, why would anyone waste any time being nice to people, right? It's like taking out of your own bank account and like just giving away your money all day long, right? It's like, why would anyone do that, right? I guess I was just so entrenched in such a selfish way of thinking and living that it just never dawned on me that people could find so much joy and happiness from giving, right? Whether it's giving money or giving your kindness, right? And it compounded this idea, especially once. So I grew up in a Chinese culture where every year you do Chinese New Year, and every year the kids get all of this money from all of their elders and relatives and things. And I still remember being a kid being like, oh, this is so nice. And then thinking, oh, I just dread becoming an adult because then I'm going to have to give, right? Then I'm going to have to be not one of the ones receiving, but I'm going to be the one of the ones giving, right? And then I just remember getting married and then sitting there thinking, oh, it's going to be my first year getting to do Chinese New Year and I get to be a giver, right? And I just remember thinking in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, as a kid, I remember how much I dreaded this day, right? But I had no idea. I was just so naive in that season of my life to realize how much joy and happiness this side of the fence is to get the opportunity to give, right? To have people that you care about and love to give to, right? Like that in itself is richness and blessing and abundance that you cannot buy, right? Like you cannot. So it was just such a fun thing to transition, right? And so I can't wait to allow for this like marriage retreat and, you know, for my marriage to be strengthened so that I can keep flowing in this place of like, I get to, right? I get to be married, right? I get to create a space for my children to see and know what love is, right?